Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. Let me first introduce who's here, and then I'll make some opening comments, and then I'll turn it over to Mayor de Blasio. To my far right, Dr. Ken Davis, from President and CEO of Mount Sinai Health Systems, Dr. David Reich from Mount Sinai Hospital Systems also, Ken Raske, who is the President and the CEO of the Greater New York Hospital Association. I want to thank him for all his good work. Our State Health Commissioner, Dr. Zucker, this good gentleman you know, B. Grouse, who is the President of the Health Association of New York State, Haney's, Dr. Steve Corwin, who is the President of New York Presbyterian Hospital, Joe Loda, Executive Vice President from NYU Langone Medical Center, but at one time he had a really important job. But, and we have Dr. Barbeau, Commissioner of New York City Health Department. First, we're going to speak about the situation that was reported last night with a person who tested positive for the coronavirus. That woman is a healthcare worker. She's 39 years old. She had been working in Iran and came back on Tuesday to New York. She did not take any public transportation. As she was a healthcare worker, she was very aware of this situation and the potential for this situation. We don't believe that she was contagious when she was on the plane or when she took a private car from the airport to her residence. But out of an abundance of caution, we will be contacting the people who were on the flight with her from Iran to New York, and the driver of that car service, and we'll be contacting them and following up with them as the facts dictate. The healthcare worker also was with her spouse. He was also a healthcare worker, so they were both aware of the situation. Her husband is being tested also. But we are assuming that he would be positive given the circumstances, and he has been following the same protocols that she has been following. The testing was done at Mount Sinai. Again, since they were healthcare workers, they had contacted Mount Sinai before that they were coming in, and they took all precautions necessary. They are at home, at their home. The healthcare worker has manifested some respiratory illnesses, but her condition is mild, so she's at home, and she's not even hospitalized, even though she has tested positive for the virus. Her spouse is with her. In general, there is no doubt that there will be more cases where we find people who test positive. We said early on, it wasn't a question of if, but when. This is New York. We're a gateway to the world. You see all these cases around the world, around the country. Of course, we're going to have it here. And that's why the whole challenge is about containment of the number of people who become exposed and who become infected. Our challenge now is to test as many people as you can. You're not going to eliminate the spread, but you can limit the spread. And testing is very important. And that's why the CDC, the federal government's now allowing us to test, is a very big deal. And will have a dramatic effect on how quickly we can mobilize and respond. We are coordinating with private hospitals, private labs around the state. We want to get our testing capacity as high as possible. I said to the people around this table that I would like to have a goal of 1,000 tests per day capacity within 1 week, because, again, the more testing, the better. Once you can test and find a person who's positive, then you can isolate that person so they don't infect additional people. We'll be moving a piece of emergency legislation on the state side that will authorize an additional $40 million for additional staff, additional equipment. I want to make sure that the healthcare system has everything it needs. We're going to be instituting new cleaning protocols in our schools, on public transportation, et cetera, where they will use a disinfectant. Many will use bleach, which is a good protocol in the flu season anyway. So if people smell, it smells like bleach when you get on a bus or when a child goes to school. It's not bad cologne or perfume. It is bleach. And again, we're going to be focusing on our facilities that treat our senior citizens, debilitated people, or immune-compromised people, because those are the people who are most likely most affected by this virus. My last point is this. Late last night, my daughter called me, and I could hear in her voice that she was anxious. She had seen on the news that a person tested positive. My daughter said, you know, what's this? And I could hear in her voice she was nervous. And my daughter said, don't tell me to relax. Tell me why I should be relaxed, which is a very big difference there. So I want to make sure I tell the people of New York what I told my daughter. In this situation, the facts defeat fear, because the reality is reassuring. It is deep breath time. This, first of all, this is not our first rodeo with this type of situation in New York. 1968, we had the Hong Kong flu. 2009, we had the swine flu, where we actually closed like 100 schools in New York State. Avian flu, Ebola, SARS, MERS, measles, right? So we have gone through this before. When you look at the reality here, about 80% of the people who are infected with the coronavirus self-resolve. They have symptoms. The symptoms are similar to what you would have with a normal flu. And for most people, they treat themselves, over 80%, and the virus resolves that way. About 20% get ill. The mortality rate is estimated to be about 1.4%. 1.4%. What does that mean? The normal flu mortality rate is about 0.6%. And the CDC says 1.4, but they're extrapolating from what we know from countries around the world. First, even on the 1.4%, again, that is, tends to be people who are debilitated, senior citizens, many of whom have an underlying illness. That tends to be the people who are vulnerable to this. Good news, children do not appear as vulnerable to this virus. Less vulnerable than to the normal flu. So that is good news. But 1.4%, that's extrapolating from China and other countries. 80%, it'll resolve on their own. The woman who is now tested positive, she's at home. She's not even in a hospital. So the perspective here is important. And the facts, once you know the facts, once you know the reality, it is reassuring. And we should relax, because that's what's dictated by the reality of the situation. I get the emotion. I understand it. I understand the anxiety. I'm a native-born New Yorker. We live with anxiety. But the facts don't back it up here. Also, we're extrapolating from what happened in China, other countries. We have the best healthcare system in the world here. And excuse our arrogance as New Yorkers. I speak for the mayor also on this one. We think we have the best healthcare system on the planet right here in New York.
Amen. Amen.
So when you're saying what happened in other countries versus what happened here, we don't even think it's going to be as bad as it was in other countries. We are fully coordinated. We are fully mobilized. This is all about mobilization of a public health system, getting the testing done, getting the information out, and then having the healthcare resources to treat people who are going to need help. Again, that is going to be primarily senior citizens, people who are debilitated, and we're going to have a special effort for our nursing homes, et cetera, congregate facilities where senior citizens are being treated. And I can't thank our partners enough. Everybody is doing exactly what we need to do. We have been ahead of this from day one, there was a big break when the federal government allowed us to do our own testing, because now we are actually in control of the system ourselves. And as New Yorkers, we like control.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.